The Bible tells us in the New Testament that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, when we turn back to the Old Testament, there are many things that we can learn. There are many lessons that are ours today that can be of tremendous help as we encounter the problems and daily burdens that we deal with. And based upon that principle, I want us tonight to focus our attention on the first king of Israel, and that is King Saul. In the scripture reading tonight, the Bible says, Saul speaking in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I played the fool and erred exceedingly." Other versions say, "I've acted foolishly and made a great mistake." Now, I want us to understand tonight that at the time that this statement was made, Saul was reigning as the anointed of Israel, God's first anointed king of Israel. And Saul had raised an army. And Saul was out with this army trying to search the countryside to try to capture David, who was fleeing from the wrath of the king. And we know that Saul was extremely jealous of David. Others had falsely told Saul that David was trying to take his throne and wanted to take his life. And very interestingly, the night before Saul makes this statement, David, with one of his brave men, walked into the camp of Saul while he was asleep. He picked up Saul's spear and water cruse and walked out of the camp without disturbing anybody. Now, my first impression from that is that Saul needs to check up on his security detail a little bit, doesn't he? You know, that would upset me, first of all, the fact that that happened. And, you know, how could this happen to the king of Israel? I need to get my security people in order. Well, the very next morning, David called to Saul from the other side of the valley. David let Saul know that he could have very easily killed him that night, but he did not. It was then that Saul answered David, "I've sinned. Return, my son David. I will no longer do you any harm, because my soul, my life, was precious in your eyes this day. I played the fool and erred exceedingly." You know, that statement might be said of Saul on a number of different occasions. And when we come to the end of the reign of Saul, king of Israel, and we view his life, we observe his record as king, I think we can all truthfully say that Saul did play the fool. Now, the Lord did not desire that Saul play the fool. God did not want Saul to act foolishly. The Lord intended for Saul to wear royal garments. The Lord intended for Saul to be a great leader, a great king over his people Israel. But Saul made foolish choices. He chose to disobey God, and he thwarted the purposes of God, and in doing so, he played the fool. Now, I wonder if we cannot learn from this, in that this might be true sometimes of us today. Could it be that we play the fool because we don't allow the Word of God to work in our lives? We don't submit our will to God's will, and the result of those decisions are that we greatly err. You know, in the first place tonight, as we think about Saul, there was so much to be admired about Saul in the very beginning. You know, Saul was a fine-looking young man, very handsome. He was blessed with a splendid physique. Saul bore a kingly appearance. He stood head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. When Saul walked into a room, you would immediately take notice. That's how he carried himself. In addition to this, as he began, he was a modest and humble young man. And of course, isn't that a trait that we admire any time in any man? Saul was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the smallest of the tribes, and Saul was also a member of one of the smallest families in the tribe of Benjamin. 1 Samuel 9 and verse 21. And Saul was on the mission to find his father's donkeys when Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel in 1 Samuel 9. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel gathered all the people together to confirm the appointment of Saul to be the king, we read about how Saul hid himself in the baggage in order to get away from the publicity. A very humble individual. Now that's how this man started out. Very humble. We're reminded of the words of our Lord in Matthew 23 and verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. That kind of goes against the thinking of people today. Humility is not really a trait that is admired in our culture and in our society. Being egotistical, wanting your own way, doing things how you want them done, that seems to be how rulers generally want things to be carried out. And furthermore, Saul was a young man. His best years were before him. Saul was in the early morning of life. He was at the age to build for the future, and with just the right choices, success would surely crown his efforts in all things. You think about the fact that he had a great friend in Samuel, who was God's prophet. And Samuel loved Saul. He advised Saul just like a father would advise his own son. And time again, when Saul messed up, he sinned and blundered, you know, Samuel would go to Saul. He would try to lift him up. And beside all this, Saul was God's choice. And the people willingly accepted him as their first king. And so with all these wonderful advantages, how could a young man possibly fail? A fine-looking young man, modest, humble young man. He's a great friend with Samuel. He's the friend of God. The people love him. The people accept him. And certainly there is absolutely no doubt at all that Saul ought to enjoy tremendous success as the first king of Israel. And yet we sadly observe that Saul did fail tremendously as the first king of Israel. Saul himself admitted, "I have acted foolishly." So many advantages, so many opportunities were his, and yet they were for no avail because of the bad decisions that he made and the sin that he allowed to reign in his own life. Saul seemed to really never have the courage to admit when he had done wrong. And if he ever did, it seems like that he was forced to do so. He was in a situation where he had no other choice but to admit wrong. You know, Saul was in so many ways unlike David, who hated sin and was afraid of sin and who was not ashamed to humble himself before God and admit his sin and turn from his sin. Saul simply was not like that. Saul acted foolishly and blew the opportunity that God had given him. In the second place, though, let's ask the question, what did Saul do? Well, in simple terms, the answer is Saul disobeyed God. You know, when Saul was one time facing his enemy, the Philistines, Samuel delayed. He was late in coming to offer the sacrifice unto the Lord. And so Saul just took it upon himself to make the sacrifice. And Samuel said, Saul, you've greatly sinned in doing this. We read about that in 1 Samuel 13, verse 11. Saul said, I forced myself, therefore, and offered the burnt offering. And notice in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 13 that Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the prince over his people because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you. I think about another occasion that Saul disobeyed God concerning the Amalekites. Even though God, through Samuel, ordered Saul to go down, you make war against the Amalekites. You utterly destroy them. You don't bring anybody back as captives. You don't bring any spoils back. You destroy literally everything. Saul disobeyed. For some reason, Saul brought back King Agag. He brought back the best of the sheep and the best of the cattle. You see, he's no longer a humble individual, trusting and submitting to God. And when he finally meets Samuel at Gilgal, Samuel rebukes Saul severely and condemns him because of his disobedience. As I said, Saul is no longer a young man humble before God. He's no longer trusting in God, but instead, he followed his own judgment. He listened to the advice of the people. Saul was more interested, it seems like, in doing what might please the people than he was in what might please God. And here again, Saul played the fool. And when Saul meets Samuel at Gilgal, he lies. He tried to blame the people for what happened. He attempted to justify himself. You know, the people wanted to do this. But you know, as long as a man tries to justify himself in his sins, he tries to blame them on circumstances, maybe he tries to blame his sins on the church, he tries to blame his shortcomings on somebody else, as long as we're playing the blame game, you can rest assured that that individual is not a penitent person. You know, Saul was the king. That means that he was in charge. He ought to be the leader of his people. He should have said, we're going to do what God said. It doesn't matter what anybody else wants or desires. We're going to do things exactly as God has told us. He was supposed to lead the people and not let the people lead him. Now, it's true that Saul finally admitted that he had sinned, but apparently he was forced to do so. It did not come from a contrite heart. He found himself facing great difficulty. God was about to take away his kingdom. He was about to take away everything from him. And you know, many of us really never stop and seriously consider our sins, our situation in life, until some calamity comes our way. Maybe a child is at death's door. Maybe a storm is approaching. Maybe our health has failed. Maybe our financial status has completely collapsed around us. Maybe our family has just been torn apart, and it seems like then that we fall down before God because we have to, and we beg and beg for help. In so many words, we're forced to do it. You know, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should often approach the throne of grace so that if we need God's help, we'll find it. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. God wants us to depend on Him. God is willing to forgive us. Just like in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, God is there always with open arms, waiting to welcome us back home when we humble ourselves and are willing to do what He says. And yet, just like Saul, the sad situation is that many will only seek God and turn to Him when they have one foot in the grave and another on a banana peeling. They only turn to God when it's just the last resort. And that seemed to be the attitude that Saul possessed. He no longer trusted God. He no longer had faith in what God told him to do. In the next place, though, I want us to consider the final outcome of this man that started so very well. As we see Saul progress, we observe that Saul finally became a godless man. Saul even himself admitted, "God has departed. He hears me no more." Can you imagine a person coming to the point in his life where he acknowledges the fact that God has departed from me? God no longer hears me. What would that feel like to come to that conclusion in your life? Samuel even got to the point where he refused to make intercession for Saul long before Samuel even died. You know, we might pity a person that maybe lost their sight. We might pity a person that has lost their hearing, or perhaps one has lost his health or his own loved ones, or maybe here's an individual that has lost his money. But stop and think about an individual that has lost his God. Saul became a very wretched man. From this time forward, the light goes out in his sky. The gloom settled down upon him as the darkness of night. You know, there's no longer any laughter in his heart. There's no longer any song in his soul. There's no longer any peace of mind. The dawning of a new day no longer brings any hope at all for King Saul. Saul is a wretched and miserable man. You know, once he was the choice of God. Once he was God's anointed. And now he is fretful. Now he's a very suspicious man. There's nowhere for Saul to turn. There's no friend. There's no God. There's no prophet. There's nobody that Saul can turn to for help. And in his desperation, he turns to an old witch, which was in violation of the law of God to begin with. And from her, he goes into his last battle with his enemies, the Philistines, and he dies upon his own sword on Mount Gilboa. Why? Because Saul played the fool. But you know, Saul is not the last man to have played the fool. He's not the last one to have acted foolishly. There have been similar tragedies almost every single day since Saul died. People who have been richly blessed of God, just like Saul. People who have wonderful opportunities and tremendous advantages, just like Saul had. People who have been called to be the sons of God, to be soldiers of the cross of Christ. They're intended to be crowned with glory and honor, but sadly they too have played the fool. And when they come to the end of their lives and look back at their records, they realize that they've simply squandered and thrown away their opportunities to serve God. They realize that they've become conceited in their own eyes and that they were so enamored with the pleasures of this world and worldly things and so caught up in the here and the now that they simply forgot about God. They failed to heed God's admonition to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33. There have been people who have followed the ways of this world. They've listened to the applause of people, and they've left God out of their lives. And on the day of judgment, there will only be one thing that's going to matter. And that one thing is going to be how well we serve the Lord. How much we have loved God and put Him first in our lives. All the things in life that seem so important to us today. Social standing, financial standing. You think about all the things that this world has to offer us. These things will be totally oblivious in importance on that day of judgment. And yet so very many people act foolishly. They play the fool like Saul did while on this earth. And finally, when they come to the end of life like Saul, they find themselves wretched and miserable individuals with only blackness and despair in the future, all because they acted foolishly. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 28, Saul was desperate. And we read there about Saul trying to find some comfort in the witch of Endor during this great distress while facing his enemies. But Saul found none. We look at Samuel as Samuel somehow was allowed to appear to Saul. Samuel had died, but God allowed Samuel to appear to Saul through the witch of Endor. And it likened to scare that witch half to death too, because she had never seen anything like this before. But God allowed Samuel to once again communicate through this witch. If you look at verse 16, Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as He spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and has given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out His fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the land of the Philistines, into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." Now you talk about adding grease to the fire, right? Samuel says, not only is it bad for you, Saul, tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel into the hand of Philistines. And the Bible says, when he heard this, Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. What a sad ending for a life that began with such great promise. And yet today, many people seek the same comfort when they follow sin, when they follow Satan, as Saul did as he sought comfort through the witch of Endor. But there is none. I just wish tonight as I close that I had the ability to make every person here to realize how important it is to humble ourselves before God. To realize how important it is that we understand that eternity is all that matters. That's why we're told in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." You see, the only thing that's worthwhile in this life is to glorify the Lord God in our hearts and in our lives so that one day heaven can be ours. And so I ask you tonight to think about Saul. Think about his life. Think about all the advantages and the opportunities that were his, but he acted foolishly and he lost it all. I hope tonight that's not true of you. We know that we have no hope of tomorrow. That's why tonight, if there's someone in this building who's outside of Christ that needs to obey the gospel, I hope you won't act foolishly and put off that decision any longer. But come tonight in simple trusting faith, repenting of your sins. You can be baptized into Christ upon your confession of faith in Him. Or if you've done that in the past, but like Saul, you've acted foolishly, maybe you need to come home and make your life right. And so tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.